It is time to get bold. On this episode of Locked On Colts, we'll take a look at both sides of the ball and give you our hot takes. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Colts fans, thanks so much for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. This weekly podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I'm Jake Arthur, and joined as always by the beautiful Zach Hicks. You know us, of course, from horseshoehuddle.com. On today's show, we're going to dissect Colts general manager Chris Ballard's recent comments, his preseason comments that he just had this week. And then we're going to make some bold predictions on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. So, Zach, first, let's go ahead and start with what Ballard was speaking with the media about. Shaquille Leonard was the first kind of note I made about this all. Apparently we've known this going into each summer, but this is like the first season since 2018, 2019 that he's going into it pain-free. Considering the numbers he's been able to produce over that time, and he doesn't always look like himself, but he's still productive, that could be pretty huge for this defense.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I know a lot of people listening can probably attest either they've had a family member or they've gone through it themselves. But I just know so many people where you have this nagging injury for years and years, and you go to different doctors and you go to all these things, and then you find that one specialist that like fixes mm-hmm. that issue for you. My mother-in-law had that. My mom is going through some of that stuff lately as well, to where it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I can live normal now. Right. Like I don't even know what no pain is like in this. And from everything that we heard from Shaquille Leonard, that's kind of what it was since his rookie season. I think he said since week four of his rookie season, his ankle just hasn't felt right. And just parts associated with that just hasn't felt right. And he's still been a multiple time all pro and on pace to be probably one of the best statistical linebackers in the history of the game if he continues this. So now we're going to see him finally healthy again. I think that's pretty fun to see. So, I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, will he be back for week one or week two or anything like that? I think the main thing is just getting him back at all this year and getting him mm-hmm. back maybe anytime in the first half of the season. Because if we get him back pain-free, you know, it might be even better than what we've seen, which I can't even imagine that's possible. But, you know, it would be something to see.
I know I'm kind of trying to imagine what that looks like rewinding all the way back to 2018. Like he's made a ton of plays over the last few years kind of in the box or closer to the line of scrimmage. Does it mean he's going to have that ability plus be rangier and have a better range of motion, be able to move quicker? Like that could be pretty dangerous.
Remember, one of those games before he got hurt was his second game against Washington.
Yeah.
And I think that
20
was the
tackles.
Game. Yeah, that was the game that put him on the map. It was like 20 tackles, like two for a loss, and the game-ending forced fumble, too.
At the very end. Jordan Reed.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, if we get that every week, you know, awesome. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Shaquille Leonard is one of the best in the league, and just him finally being healthy is huge because we could see it a little bit last year, and I thought we could see it a little bit in 2020 as well. There were just some games where he just did not look like Shaquille Leonard. And last year he even said, you know, part of the beginning of the year and then sometimes down the stretch as well, like his body just wasn't moving the way that he wanted to move. So getting that fixed, getting that right, even though he had to miss almost 4 months of just offseason work, you know, that's huge. That's huge. So whenever he comes back, it'll be big for this team. And hopefully it's a more, you know, reinvigorated Shaquille Leonard.
Yeah, they've been kind of non-committal. They've kind of thrown water on any timelines. Like I think Ballard literally said it could be week one or week six or eight or so, he's something like that. But yeah, they're just basically saying like he'll just be ready when he's in football shape, has full strength, and he's ready. Like no one knows when that is, but it'll, you know, we'll know when it's happening.
Right.
You and I over this week, as they kind of cut down on the roster, we've brought up some of our concerns, and Ballard was asked about, if he has any concerns about the offensive line and how the depth is mostly young guys, basically. You know, Ryman is a rookie. Fries had like 20 snaps as a rookie last year. French is a rookie. So there's a lot of youth. Like, they're talented players, but if one of these guys has to step in, you really don't know what it's going to look like. And it seems like they really like it despite the depth. He even said, you know, these guys won't be vets until they play, so let the young guys play, which is kind of a fast and loose way to approach it. But, I mean, it is what it is. We always know in the trenches they're never going to turn down an opportunity to add a good player, but it doesn't seem like they're beating all the bushes looking for that.
Yeah, no, we mentioned on yesterday's podcast, when they brought back Dennis Kelly, I think a lot of my concerns went away for the depth on the O-line. Because, I mean, you guys have heard me all offseason. I'm really not that concerned about Bernard Ryman or Will Fries. I think either of those guys could step in the case of an injury and, you know, not be elite guys or be, like, top-tier starters. But I think they can be very serviceable while they still are kind of learning the game and getting acclimated. I was just more concerned, you know, if a left tackle and right tackle went down, which we saw at times last year with the Colts, who was going to be that right tackle? And I was not feeling better when Luke Tenuta was claimed, because I don't think Luke Tenuta is really that guy either. But with Dennis Kelly coming back, and even though he'll be out probably for a couple weeks, I'm guessing at a minimum, I mean, he still has not practiced since that knee injury. I would honestly assume that Luke Tenuta is going to basically be the backup right tackle until Dennis Kelly's back. And then I would honestly guess that they're going to waive Tenuta. That's just me throwing that out there. I think he's kind of just, again, like their Will Holden guy for a couple weeks until Dennis Kelly's back. But once Kelly gets back, I'm not as concerned. You know, you have two good tackles backing up, and then you have a versatile interior guy. And then worst case scenario, you could just move Matt Pryor down to somewhere on the interior offensive line and put Ryman there at left tackle. So I'm not too concerned about the depth on the O-line, but I understand people being concerned, because when you see, you know, 20 snaps in a career, 0 snaps in a career, it is kind of concerning. But I think once Dennis Kelly's healthy, this interior depth is probably the strongest the Colts have had in a couple years. I mean, Chris Reed was great last year, and so was Matt Pryor, but besides that, it was pretty poor. Going back a couple years, they haven't had this much depth, I think, again, once Dennis Kelly comes back, maybe since like 2018, 2019.
Yeah, and on the flip side of it, at defensive line, that's we share the same concern. Yes. That is concern number one. Ballard acknowledged, you know, Buckner and Stewart, it's probably unrivaled as a duo in terms of interior defensive tackles. But behind that, again, he said all the right things. They like who they've got. But I felt like he sounded more open to adding guys there. He made it seem like they're always actively looking at it to add more. Not that they're not at other positions, but it seemed more of a priority to get more guys in there. And I think he understands that. Like, yes, Chris Williams and Curtis Brooks are on the practice squad. For me, it's an injury thing with Williams. Brooks, there's an obvious reason he's there. He's just not quite ready. But yeah, they like the D-line depth, but it seems like it's still something they're probably going to look at.
Yeah, no, I like the defensive end depth. I don't really feel the need to make any changes there. I mean, unless, like, you know, a star player would become available all of a sudden or whatever. But I still would. I still like rolling with this defensive end depth. But yeah, defensive tackle, we've talked about a lot this offseason. They need another defensive tackle. I'm not going to feel good if they go into week one with Grover, Buckner, and then the two backups being Eric Johnson and Byron Cowart. So, I mean, I'm hoping that they'll add another guy, but if not, you know, I hope Grover and Buckner play most of the game. I think those couple snaps those other guys see might be pretty bad on the interior.
Yeah, that's kind of foreshadowing into a segment we're going to have later on for me. But my last little nugget I had from his thing is every time we talk to Chris, someone's got to ask about T.Y. Hilton.
Wait, I got to ask real quick. Wait, is it the same guy every time asking? Like, you don't have to say names.
Not usually. Okay. Like, someone just almost always has to ask, just because it's always out there. Yeah. Until there's a resolution and he retires or comes back, I think we're just going to
keep it. I just picture someone like kicking the door in and being like, what about T.Y. Hilton? Tell me about T.Y. Because it seems like every time we have to get a T.Y. Hilton question.
Yeah. But I will say, and the only reason I'm bringing this up today is because it seems a little different this time around. So here's what Ballard said. He was obviously asked about it. He said, as for T.Y., do I think T.Y. can still play? Absolutely, I do. I'm never going to shut the door on it, but right now I like our group and we like our group. That echoes pretty much what they've said all offseason. But to me, that sounds, at this point, it sounds like, no, we like our group. This is our group. It's who we're rolling forward with. I'm not closing the door on it because if something happens to this group, we'd love to have someone familiar like T.Y. But this just seemed more like a moving on thing to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
The door's not closed because if someone gets hurt, they want to have that option. But
right. I mean, we said all offseason that you don't want to bring in a vet during camp because you want to give these young kids a chance to shine, right? Just give them that chance. Mm-hmm. And in camp, we saw Alec Pierce grow every day. Reggie Wayne's throwing praise at him, I think, in the media today, talking about how they've ironed some things out. He looked good in the preseason. Paris Campbell had a good camp. Ashton Doolin had a strong camp. And then Des Patman and Mike Strong came on really well late in the preseason. So you gave these young guys all of camp to show that they belonged, and then they showed that they belonged, at least in terms of camp and preseason. So there's no need to bring in T.Y. Hilton right now. And just like what Chris Bradley said, if you like them going into the offseason, there's nothing about this offseason program that said you don't like them. You know, they all played pretty well. So I think right now the right move is to keep these young guys and see how it goes. I mean, if it completely blows up these first couple of weeks, then yeah, by all means, go after T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah. Like we all said, unless it was a disaster, someone gets hurt, then you do it. Neither of those things have happened. The young guys have cleaned things up a little bit. So, you know, is T.Y. Hilton going to be a Colt in 2022? I wouldn't bet on it, but I'll tell you what I will bet on. The Colts are opening the season as 8.5-point favorites on the road against the Houston Texans, according to BetOnline. And the game's over-under is set at 46 points, which is always really enticing to me because I'm always a big fan of the over. But BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and even golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, folks. So we're kind of trying to figure out a way to make this episode different other than just pounding all the roster stuff every day. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at both sides of the ball, and we're each going to make a bold prediction for the season. I'll go ahead and start us out. You know, the Colts passing game, almost universally, everyone likes the Matt Ryan addition, but the big hangup has been, what about the receivers? Well, I'm going to say that the Colts are going to have a top 10 passing offense in 2022. And I think it looks like averaging about 250 passing yards per game should get you inside that top 10. They were 26th last year at 191.7, which is not great, but quarterback makes, you know, a world of difference.
That second half of the season, they were barely throwing the ball.
No kidding. So obviously people are down on these Colts receivers for good reason. I mean, Michael Pittman Jr. is the only guy you know anything about, pretty much. Everyone else is a big question mark. But honestly, to me, it's precisely because of that I think this is going to work. Ryan is the type of quarterback to spread the ball around. He goes through his progressions. He makes checks before. He already has a 1,000-yard guy in Michael Pittman Jr., which helps. Alec Pierce and Paris Campbell, they can both take the top off of a defense. Campbell's dynamic with the ball in his hand. So is Kylan Granson. Mo Alie-Cox seems to be just a chunk play machine. I feel like a lot of his catches are at least 15 yards. He always finds himself wide open somehow or sheds that first tackler. Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better pass-catching duo than Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor, especially with the ball in their hands in terms of running backs. And then the whole group has plenty of size for contested catches and the red zone. So I just think mixing all those guys together, you don't have like a pair of dominant guys. You don't have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith or Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Ryan's going to spread the ball around, and it'll result in them being a top 10 passing offense.
Were they? I mean, I know you might have to look this up here, but were they a top 10 passing offense with Phillip Rivers? Was he top 10 in passing yards that year?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You can look it up. You can look it up while I filled some space here. But I actually
say some words, and I'll look that up.
Yeah, I like that projection, man. But you know, we want to get a little hotter here, Jake. Let's push this. You know, top 8, top 6, top 5. Okay. Let's push it.
Top. Is he gonna let's say pass? top seven. Because top I don't seven? Okay. they're not super reliant on the pass, so I don't want to say they're gonna be top five or anything.
All right, we'll take top seven. I think that's more click worthy right there. We'll go top seven. But I like that prediction a lot. Again, this I don't know if we'll see many guys outside of Michael Pittman Jr. go over like 500 yards receiving this year, but I do think we'll see a lot of guys in that 300, 400, 500 yards, you know, a lot of guys getting decent receiving numbers because they just have a lot of parts. You know, it's not a lot of amazing parts, but it's a lot of parts that can operate in this offense. But do you have the Phillip Rivers numbers? Was he top 10?
Yeah. So they were 11th with Phillip Rivers at 253.3 yards per game. So in 2021, that would have been top 10. And now you have Matt Ryan with a stronger arm. So.
Right. Yeah.
And a similar cast of characters to throw to.
Right. And again, Phillip Rivers, it took a good bit for that offense to click.
Click till midway through the season.
Right. And he didn't have his leading receiver was 600 yards that year. And
Zach Pascal, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right. Zach Pascal. So they didn't have a Michael Pittman Jr. Didn't have a running back. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was on the team, but he wasn't Jonathan Taylor until the second half of the year. So yeah, no, I like it. I like it. I do think that they can be a top 10 or I'm going to hold you to top seven. So we'll do that. Mine, I want to go a little hotter, just slightly hotter, I guess. It's not super high. I know we've been talking about this all offseason, but I'm going to focus mine on Nyheim Hines. And I'm going to say 80 catches this year. 80 catches. I said 75 too early, but we're going to go with 80. And I was looking at it because in my mind, I was like, I didn't know how to process it. I was like, oh, is 80 catches like fringe record wise? Like, I didn't know how many running back catches were. So I was looking at it and 80 catches outside of last year, that would have been by far and away the most catches by a running back. It would have beat it by, I think, 6 last year. But in years before that, it would have been like, you know, the top 2, top 3 receiving back in the NFL. You know, like we're talking Alvin Kamara, James White's always up there, and those JD McKissick hit 80 a couple years ago as well. And I think Nyheim Hines can do that. I mean, again, we're talking, you know, if we're just basing this off like the Phillip Rivers season, because that's kind of what we're both doing with our predictions here. The Phillip Rivers season, he caught 64 passes, and in that offense he was almost exclusively a running back. You know, he wasn't really lined up a receiver that much. This offseason, we've seen him line up at receiver. We saw that they had that heavy increase in him going out at receiver last year to get those two running back sets. So I think we're going to see so much more Nyheim Hines on the field that him averaging, I think he only needs to average, I think it's like 4.6 or 4.7 catches a game to get to 80. I think that's very realistic for him. I could see him, you know, averaging around 5 catches a game in this offense because they're going to want to give him the ball. Heck, he had 5 catches, I think, in that first preseason game, you know, this year against the Bills. And that was in like 12 snaps. So I think 80 catches is definitely doable for Nyheim Hines. And I think, you know, I could see it maybe even going higher than that, but I'm going to stick at 80 right now. I think 80 is a good number, but I think we're going to see a lot of Nyheim Hines this season.
I really like that too, because there's, again, I think we both assume there's so many different ways they're going to use him, especially with Jonathan Taylor on the field at the same time. I can just picture now shotgun play action, or, you know, fake a handoff to Taylor and here comes Nyheim running out of the slot or something. They'll do a lot with that. I could see 75, 80 balls. 80, I'll go ahead and do it just to make it a little hotter, like you said.
Yeah.
But no, you and I both expect big things. I think he definitely sets a new personal best. The 63 just seems like a footnote at this point. But yeah, that seems like a given. Plus, I think the boxes will be crowded a little more. So especially on plays where Taylor is in there with him too, I see Hines getting the ball a lot in those situations.
Yeah, there'll be some tap passes, some screens and stuff like that. And just plays, you know, like we've seen with what we saw with the Andrew Luck season, where there will literally be drives in the 2-minute drill where he's catching 4 or 5 passes because the defense is dropping back 10 yards and he's catching it, you know, a little 2-yard pass out of the backfield and running for like 4 or 5. And then the offense is getting back up when they're doing that again. You know, like that's what Andrew Luck was doing all year in 2018 and how Hines got up to 63 catches that season without really playing as many snaps. So
yeah,
I'm feeling pretty comfortable about our bold takes there. But if we're talking some comfort, guys, let's talk about home field. I mean, I'm wearing my home field right now, and this is the most comfortable shirt that I own. Guys, if you haven't gone over to Homefield yet to grab some of their new merch from the partnership with the Colts, what are you doing? Homefield is a premium collegiate apparel brand out of Indy with incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. However, being a local brand, the Colts reached out to Homefield for an exclusive partnership to launch this collection of Homefield Colts apparel. This is Homefield's first NFL collection, and they are killing it so far. Homefield and the Colts worked together exclusively to make this co-branded collection, bringing Indianapolis together. The collection has six items: a hoodie, a crew neck, a pair of t-shirts, a pair of joggers, and a jacket. It's the perfect collection to kick off the season. So if you need something to wear this season, look no further than the collection. It is now live. So you guys can go to Homefield right now and get your Colts gear. Take it from us. Homefield hooked both of us up with some of their apparel, and I can't tell you how comfortable it is. I mean, I'm wearing mine again right now. I wash it, and then I wear it all week. You know, I wash it every night and wear it the rest of the week whenever I get
there
home.
There you go.
Especially now that we're getting into the colder months and stuff like that, I can actually pull off wearing this without sweating. Plus, the designs are really cool, and I have no problem wearing this shirt whenever and wherever. New customers can get 15% off their first purchase from Homefield with code LOCKEDONCOLTS at checkout at homefieldapparel.com. All right, Jake, let's jump to defense. And I know both of us have our bold predictions are actually going to be involving the Colts probably – you know, two of their top three defenders. So I'll kick it off with mine on this one. I am going to say Stephon Gilmore returns to the all pro scene in 2021 or 2022, okay. Not 2021, 2022. Stephon Gilmore is an all pro yet again this season. And my reasoning is, you know, again, 2020 was not a great season for him with the Patriots, and that's what led to him getting cut. He was obviously dealing with injuries that year. But we're talking, you know, 3 years ago, Stephon Gilmore was a defensive player of the year, first team All-Pro. He comes back last year with a different team, steps in, and plays really well. I mean, we're talking 80% completion percentage or 80% passer rating when targeted. One of the better, you know, better corners in the league when he came back on the field, he immediately stepped into that Panthers team and became their quarterback one. Now he gets to a new system, a system that he's going to perform pretty well in because he's going to have that single high safety. He's going to be left on an island. And by all accounts, from you guys and from everybody there in camp, Stephon Gilmore was the best player on this Colts defense in camp, like yeah, by far and sure. away from everything that you guys said. And then we even got to see him a little bit against Mike Evans in this past preseason game. And he looked good. I mean, he looked really good against Mike Evans, who's a really good receiver. So I don't know. I'm buying it, man. Again, as someone who's a big cornerback guy, when I grew up and stuff like that, you're watching football. Stephon Gilmore is the teach tape technician. You know, he's the guy that you're watching to study how a cornerback should play football. And seeing where he was just 3 years ago and then seeing how he's looked in camp and how he looked late last season even, I don't think there's that much of a difference between, you know, his 2019 play and where he could be here in 2022. So I'm not going to say defensive player of the year, but I do think it's very realistic that we see him jump back into the all pro scene here in 2022. And, you know, the Colts, they get a lot of all pros, a lot of all pro votes, yeah. You know, for a small market team, you know, Shaquille Leonard, DeForest Buckner, Ashton Doolin was an all pro last year. Jonathan Taylor, Quentin Nelson, you know, they get a lot of all pro votes here. So Stephon Gilmore comes away with, you know, four or five picks, has a nice little completion percentage against. I could definitely see him being an all pro here in 2022.
I think that's certainly a possibility. I think his name still carries some weight. I feel right. like people's cornerback ratings vary so much, but you know, there's always the same names around there. And I don't think people would be, you know, he's a little older, of course, he's over 30, but I don't think people would be afraid to consider him still one of the best. And as I've described him throughout the summer, I've tried to stay away from saying he looks like the 2019 version of himself, just to, I guess, avoid sounding fanatical, but like, man, he really looks like a lockdown corner. And not just that, but he makes plays on the ball. So he takes guys away. And when he is tested, he's getting rid of the ball.
Right.
So, I mean, he's tough. He'll get his nose dirty and he'll tackle. We saw against Mike Evans, he's going to play physical. I have no problem with that one whatsoever. And I think it'll be refreshing for people to see, oh yeah, he does still have it. It was just, you know, he had a year and a half or so where he was banged up.
Right. Right. Yeah. I really do think that, I mean, again, Shaquille Leonard's going to steal the show. DeForest Buckner is going to steal the show when they're out there, but Stephon Gilmore is probably the most important player on the defense this year, because if you're going to play more man, if you're going to play more man, if you're going to play, you know, up in receivers' faces a little bit more, you need that lockdown guy. And that's what Stephon Gilmore is. So I'm fully buying him having a big season this year. I almost just went with Pro Bowl for this, but you know what? I'm going to go really bold here. I really do think All Pro is realistic for him.
Yeah, but mine involves another All Pro, so it wouldn't be bold for me to say he's going to be an All Pro again. But there's been a lot of attention on the Colts defensive line with Yannick Ngakoue getting, you know, they acquired him in a trade. There you expect a big jump in year two from Kwity Paye. But I think it's going to be DeForest Buckner that leads the team in sacks still. And I think he's going over 10 sacks. I think he's getting into the double digits. It's not far-fetched to say that an interior guy is going to do that. You know, Cameron Hayward and Aaron Donald both did it. We've seen Geno Atkins, Jaron Reed, Fletcher Cox, Calais Campbell, Chris Jones had an incredible sack streak. Buckner himself had 12 in 2018. I think that's when San Fran went to the Super Bowl. So despite the fact that Yannick Ngakoue is going to be the guy everyone thinks is going to lead in sacks, and Kwity Paye seems to be the second choice, I think it's Buckner that's really going to – they're all going to do well, don't get me wrong, but I think it's Buckner that's really going to feast in this new defensive front. I think having Ngakoue and Paye playing even better is going to be beneficial for them. They are going to have to – they're going to command attention. You know, someone's going to get double teams. Not to mention Grover Stewart might be playing out of his mind, and the push that he gets up the interior can open up space for Buckner to get through. And, you know, his duties, I guess, aren't to think as much. He's just supposed to go attack and get into the backfield. So I think all those things together are going to result in him. We'll say he'll get another All-Pro crown with it, but he's going to have 11, 12 sacks and be an All-Pro, and he'll lead the team.
All right, Jake, let's just push this a little bit more again. We're going to push you a little bit hotter. Outside of Aaron Donald, DeForest Buckner leads the NFL in defensive tackle, like sacks as a defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Let's push that. There we go. See, you need to be more controversial, Jake. I'm going to teach you how to be a little more controversial here. Just saying DeForest Buckner double-digit sacks, yeah, you know, that's bold. It's bold, but we want to go – we want to go controversial. Not named Aaron Donald, DeForest Buckner is the best defensive tackle in football. That's what we need to say right there.
Okay. I got you. I'm not as spicy as you. I get that.
You're not used to the hate, Jake. I was born in the hate. I was raised in the hate.
That's middle child syndrome. I'm a people pleaser.
This is the oldest child here. But I really like it. I mean, DeForest Buckner, again, getting back to a scheme. You know, it's a defensive front scheme that's going to be very similar to where he saw a lot of his great success with the 49ers. You know, like you mentioned, he had 12 sacks with the 49ers. Robert Saleh, I think it's Robert Saleh is how you say his name. Saleh. Yeah, whatever. Robert Saleh. You guys can roast me on Twitter for that. His defensive front is, you know, it came from his – from learning under Gus Bradley. You know, those guys obviously worked together for years. And a lot of what Saleh was doing with Buckner is a lot of what Gus Bradley is going to want to do with him too. So I think you're going to see him kind of get back to that strength that he was at with the 49ers, where I'm not saying that he was better with the Niners. He's actually been, you know, more productive. You look at pressures and just, you know, him getting and being more disruptive with the Colts, but he was more efficient. He was more effective with the 49ers, and he was just more, again, just kind of more productive in terms of sacks and those impact plays. You know, with the Colts, it seems like he's kind of hot and cold, you know, when the Matt Eberflus scheme. But when that Robert Saleh scheme with the 49ers, it was just 100 miles per hour all the time. And that's what we're going to see with Gus Bradley. So saying DeForest Buckner will be second among all defensive tackles and sacks this year, because obviously you got to have Aaron Donald in his own tier. I mean, Aaron Donald's a cheat code. I can totally see that. I mean, I know Jeffrey Simmons is going to obviously push for that as well, but yeah, DeForest Buckner, I think he's going to have a huge season.
And this should be the best supporting cast he's been around since that 2018 49ers defense. They had Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue, Kwity Paye, Grover Stewart, D Ford. Yeah, you can look at it however you want, but that will be beneficial to him because of, again, the attention that other guys command. I think that's it for today, guys. We'll be back with you on Monday as we begin our very first official game week with you guys. That's right. It'll officially be week one as the Colts get ready to take on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following us for all that Houston Texans coverage at Jake Arthur NFL there on Twitter, at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Follow our written work at horseshoehuddle.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Guys, tomorrow evening. I think I put it for 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be going live to answer some of your guys' questions and then change my header on Twitter as well. So you guys are going to be able to see all of that live. We're going to have a good time. You guys can ask me whatever you want. It can be about football, about the channel, about anything. You know, just jump in. Obviously, be respectful or I will kick you from the chat. But, you know, for the most part, you guys could just jump in. We're going to have a good time. You know, we're going to have fun. Because, again, you guys have got us to 1,000 subs in less than 2 months. You know, that's something to celebrate.
Almost at 1,100 now.
Yeah, almost at 1,100. So you guys have been killing it. We love you guys so much. And thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview starting August 31st, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey NFL insiders are combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Starting August 31st, search your Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We will see you guys on Monday.